time to reflect on the week that has been with Michelle Acourt and Tereira. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Lynn.
Kia ora.
Happy New Year. Is first it? Night and noon of the year.
It is. It's a great year. Don't jinx it. Stop it. It's going well.
Yeah, super great. Really looking forward to it. Oh, the future. Smell it. Can you smell it?
Well, yeah. What I'm smelling mostly at the moment is, in my imagination, the Lamington burger. I'm really excited about this. I want to try this.
I want to listen later on to Jesse when he's talking to the people from Otago University as to whether this was on their list of
dietary
food. I don't know. Is it a Mediterranean thing? It's clearly just an Antipodean thing, really.
It's close to keto, I think. Isn't it? So this is for Australia Day in Adelaide. Australia Day is this Sunday. We should know that. So one of the restaurants is making a Lamington burger. I'm just delighted it's not cultural appropriation. They're not making a pavlova burger, so that's good.
Pavlova burger, difficult probably to hold everything in, although it would just sink in and be a little bit easier to eat, possibly.
Can't
I don't know.
See that
a lack of structure.
There's not a lot of structure in a Lamington.
No, and this is what actually people, this is, you know, there was all those people who came out and went, oh, it's unhealthy for you. Also, it was being alive. But I like the people who looked at it and went, wow, look, there's a flaw in it. And for people who don't know what it is, you get a Lamington, two Lamingtons, I think, and between those, you put a couple of beef patties, a double bacon, double cheese, and I imagine a condiment of your choice. So it does lack structure. How do you hold this?
I think you
how
just
do you put your mouth around it.
I think
it?
It's about speed. I think it's velocity, this kind of food. You just have to get it gobbled as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, chocolate and meat I'm quite into. I went to the equivalent of an AMP show in Southern California once, showing off now, and had chocolate covered deep fried bacon.
Well, they love to deep fry things. They have a thing. They had a program called Fry Masters, which was kind of, I don't really like horrors, but this was a horror. And there was a comedy, and whatever you could imagine, they would deep fry it. And it was all for the kind of the AMP show, you know, the county fairs and things like that. And if you could crack it, there was a guy who, I think he made his fortune. He was one of the judges by figuring out how to deep fry Coke.
Did you have to freeze it first?
I don't know. I didn't want to know.
Okay.
Nonetheless, so if you are thinking about how to celebrate Australia Day, have some love with our neighbours, then cake and meat.
It's not really a dish, is it? It's more the kind of mistake you make at a buffet where you go, oh, I'll have the lamb chops and the trifle.
I just don't want to go up again. I'm very, very lazy.
Let's have it. No, there might be no trifle when I go back.
But no beetroot, no egg. I would put beetroot and egg in. I don't think a burger is a burger without beetroot and egg.
Oh, I think you could skip the beetroot just for once. So the colour would be nice. I like one of the Facebook comments in response to it, which was, it's worth putting pants on for.
Yeah, that was my favourite too,
love
actually.
And I don't know, that could mean it's worth leaving the house or it's a good idea to put pants on for spillage. So either way, it's a great idea.
I enjoyed the person who looked and said, I've just lost a little of my faith in humanity. I'm just glad that they were optimistic enough still to remain having some faith in humanity.
To be surprised about a Lamington burger.
Oh, dear, oh dear. No, look, I know somebody who would never sign up for this is Mary Berry. At 84, she's saying she's still never had a takeaway.
Yes, the queen of cakes and, you know, British Bake Off.
Knows her way around a Lamington.
She certainly does. She wouldn't put bacon and beef patties in the middle of a Lamington, I would imagine. She says she's never had a takeaway.
I can't understand this. How does she define a takeaway? Has she never taken food away from an establishment?
I guess so. I mean, obviously she's eaten off the catering table on television sets.
Yeah.
So that's somebody else preparing food for you. But I think she's very unhappy about people buying in and eating out when they should be making their own pasta. I just suspect at 84, if somebody signed her up for Uber Eats and she gave it a go, she might fall in love with it.
Because it's convenient. She says, you know, there's convenience. You spend a little more and you get the convenience. Which is pretty much takeaway food.
Indeed.
I mean, I can make a pretty good burger, but I'm quite happy to allow someone else to do so
with
and contribute
expertise
to their wages and their lifestyle and various things. And they are generally better than me.
That's right. Well, they've got the skill, experience, knowledge,
and a
condiments.
Deep fryer and access to cakes. Yeah. So it was a surprise. And I was sort of part of the great joy in life is really good and or really bad takeaway food.
Yeah, some bad food is also quite exciting at times. I just feel like I work basically so I can have enough money to pay people to do the things I don't want to do. Sometimes that's cooking.
I was just disappointed in her pointing to time-saving products like ready grated cheese.
Yes.
I pass that in the supermarket. I'm going, really? You don't have a couple of minutes to grate your own cheese. That frustrates me.
It's not the grating of the cheese that is exhausting about the cooking, right? It's the going to to the supermarket and thinking up what you're going to buy to make when you get home. It's like people who buy pre-cracked eggs. It's like, I don't know what's going on in your life that you can't crack an egg all by yourself. Like, oh, I sounded quite cross then.
I hadn't heard of that one.
Oh, sorry.
Thank
about
you,
that.
Mary Berry, a court. Yes.
sorry about that.
Oh, I didn't realise you could get pre-cracked eggs.
No, you can. Yes.
What?
Because you do. You can buy them just in a tiny plastic bag of some kind.
And carry them home like a goldfish.
Yes, indeed.
Just more plastic, isn't it?
Yes,
really?
It is.
Chinese authorities using facial recognition in a way we might not expect.
But yet in the same way, a way that we would expect to enforce social values. And what you do with this kind of technology, this authoritarian thing, is when you're not using it on the Uyghur population and their concentration camps over there, is you bring it into normal society in a kind of humorous way to begin with. And people go, ha, 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 how funny, let's shame people who wear their pyjamas. And then, you know, we laughed and we didn't cry out for the people who wore their pyjamas.
And then they came for the people who,
didn't bother with pants.
Yes.
Apparently now they're using this to defend what they consider to be breaches of public morality, which is pyjamas.
So I'm fascinated with this because Chinese people have embraced the technology of facial recognition for things like jaywalking and being a tissue bandit, you know, stealing toilet paper from bathrooms. And they went, yep, no, that's fine, all good. When it came to naming and shaming publicly people who were caught on camera wearing pyjamas in public, they went, no, that is a step too far. Because apparently it's quite a cultural thing, especially for older women, I bet it is, to wear their pyjamas out in public. There's also a fashion movement that does this in China, and, you know, they wear animal prints and hilarious
things. Because there is often a thin line between
pyjama and
between flowing blouse,
yes,
and pyjama top.
I have a Wincy-Ette evening gown. I think there's a very, very fine line. Most of my clothes are basically modelled on the pyjama.
Yeah, so that you can go home and you can just lounge and people go, she's sleeping in a clothes. No, she's in her pyjamas. She's outside in her pyjamas. No, it's a flowing blouse.
That's it. They're really into the public shaming thing. In theatres, if people are using their phones, they will shine lasers on them. I think we could adopt that.
See, some of this technology, perhaps in retrospect, could be quite useful.
Could be.
But there's actually a big movement. When the news came out, I think it was just this week, there was a big company in the States selling facial recognition software where you can take a photograph of someone and then the software will tell you who that person is and where they live because of their social media platform. So stalking and various other things. And so now people are going, whoa, wait a second. Let's just call a bit of a moratorium on this
technology. Let's back that up. Yes. Could be worse, though. You could get a weather forecast that warns you of iguana rain.
I saw an iguana only 2 days ago, and I marvelled just the size of them. And this was a male one. It had these kind of massive cheek glands. And I just thought, imagine living in a place where they are.
Well, some of them are 5 feet long, which is the height of me. And they live in trees. And this is happening in Florida, where climate change means that temperatures are dropping down to 4 degrees or even -1, at which point the iguanas, who are cold-blooded, fall into a sort of deep sleep and drop out of the trees, so much so that they have warnings from the Met Service that there may be iguana rain.
Look, how many iguanas are there? What kind? Is this a heavy rain? Is it an occasional skiff? A very localised shower? I don't know how many of these creatures there are, but they are enormous. And then the thing is, they're wanting to say, don't go up to them because they'll look dead, but then as soon as you might go, oh, I'm going to take this home, a dead iguana. I don't know why you would think that. I probably would.
Well, yes.
And then, of course, you warm them up and they become very much an alive iguana.
They wake up and come back to life. Apparently they are eaten in some areas. They're known as the chicken of the trees in Central and South America. So it's an easy hunting thing in Florida at the moment.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Acourt and her radar. I think I'll keep that image with me over the weekend.